Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Eric Corum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into the world of caffeine. We're going to be exploring its physiological mechanisms and addressing some of the most common questions and misconceptions surrounding this popular stimulant. As a matter of fact, caffeine is the most commonly consumed psychoactive drug in the world. But before we get started, if this podcast has provided you any value, please do me a favor, pause the podcast, leave us a written review and rating on whichever listening platform you are joining us from, as this makes a huge difference in our ability to bring on amazing guests and to grow this show. Before I get started on to how caffeine works, I want you to know, yes, I do consume caffeine, particularly in the form of coffee. I drink Purity coffee. I think I've told you that before. It's my favorite coffee right now. I usually mix in some Bubs collagen in that coffee first thing in the morning, and I put Nut Pods creamer in there. Why? Because it's all natural. I don't do great with dairy. And then sometimes I put some like stevia in that. So that's kind of my routine in the morning. And then, yes, I will have a little bit more caffeine later in the afternoon. Let's talk about how caffeine actually works in the body. Now, caffeine is a potent adenosine receptor antagonist, meaning it blocks the action of adenosine, a neurotransmitter that promotes feelings of tiredness and relaxation. So adenosine actually builds up during the day. And by inhibiting adenosine, caffeine can increase alertness, reduce fatigue, and improve various aspects of cognitive and physical performance. That's one of the reasons people like to use this. They feel more alert. But also, caffeine stimulates the release of other neurotransmitters like dopamine and norepinephrine, contributing to its performance-enhancing effects. It also makes you feel good. Additionally, it can increase lipolysis and fat oxidation, which has led some to believe that caffeine might be an effective weight loss aid. The paper I'm referencing today was written by Jose Antonio and colleagues, and it's titled Common Questions and Misconceptions About Caffeine Supplementation. What does the scientific evidence show? Now, I'm not going to go over all the questions that they highlight, so I'm going to leave a link in the show notes if you want to get into this further. But let's get into some of the pressing questions about caffeine that I think you may find interesting. Let's start with a common concern. Does caffeine dehydrate you at rest? The authors of the review found that moderate daily doses of caffeine, around 250 to 300 milligrams, do not appear to increase urine volume in habitual caffeine consumers. So if you're a regular drinker of coffee and tea, you likely don't need to worry about caffeine disrupting your fluid balance. So that's roughly, let's say, 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day. But what about the impact of caffeine on body weight and fat mass? While some studies have shown that caffeine can increase lipolysis and fat oxidation, the overall evidence for caffeine as a weight loss aid is kind of mixed. The authors note that many of the studies showing positive effects use high doses of caffeine or combined it with other substances like green tea extract or ephedrine. Ephedrine is now like banned. Back in the day, 90s, early 2000s, you could get this stuff and it was a pretty potent weight loss aid, but it's no longer readily available. As of now, the research doesn't support using caffeine alone as a reliable fat loss tool. It's not going to move the needle enough for you. But if you are dieting and you use caffeine, it can help you get through some hard workouts, or if you're fighting hunger cravings, it's an option. Another important question is whether too much caffeine can be deadly. While extremely rare, the authors acknowledge that caffeine overdose can be lethal, typically at doses exceeding 5 grams. And there are stories of teenagers taking these crazy energy drinks and them having like cardiac arrest. However, this is highly unlikely to occur through normal consumption of caffeinated beverages. To put this in perspective, you'd need to consume around 50 cups of coffee in a short period to reach a potentially lethal dose. That is a lot of coffee. Now let's explore about how habitual caffeine consumption might influence the performance responses to acute caffeine resumption. So if you've been using caffeine for a long time, Is it actually going to give you the little bump that you need? Interestingly, the majority of evidence suggests that regular caffeine intake does not negatively impact the performance-enhancing effects of a pre-workout dose. However, individual responses can vary, and some studies suggest that higher doses may be needed for habitual users to experience the same ergogenic effects or performance-enhancing effects. Let's say you're a power lifter or something like that, and you're training for a big tournament or event. You may want to like get off caffeine 10 days prior so that when you actually need it for like the major event, you actually can get the big bump that you're looking for. Okay, controversial topic for pregnant women. The question of whether to avoid caffeine is a crucial one. This review highlights that the majority of observational studies and meta-analyses have found maternal caffeine intake to be consistently associated with adverse pregnancy outcomes. As a precautionary measure, many health organizations recommend that pregnant women limit their daily caffeine consumption to 200 to 300 milligrams at the most. I know this is a personal matter for a lot of people. I'm just reporting what's in the literature. Now let's tackle the question of caffeine's addictive potential. While caffeine does have some reinforcing properties and can lead to withdrawal symptoms, the current evidence does not fully support classifying it as an addictive substance based on clinical criteria. However, the authors note that more research is needed to understand the potential for caffeine use and other disorders and its implications. Here's my take. If you need caffeine to get through the day, it's a crutch. If caffeine is giving you a bump to help improve your performance because you're eating right, sleeping right, taking care of your mental fitness, then I would say it's not a problem. That's my personal take on this. Finally, let's address a popular belief. And when I say popular belief, I mean, it was something that was espoused by Andrew Huberman that waiting 1.5 to 2 hours after waking to consume caffeine will help you avoid the afternoon crash. The authors of this paper found no evidence to support this claim, suggesting that the timing of caffeine intake does not significantly influence the likelihood of experiencing an afternoon slump. In fact, they note that individual factors like sleep quality, overall caffeine intake, and personal tolerance are more likely to impact any potential crash than the specific timing of consumption. And if you want to read the paper, it kind of goes into the half-life of caffeine and the potential variance of the half-life of caffeine based off of genetic factors. For instance, I'm a fast metabolizer of caffeine, so I can drink it a little bit later and it doesn't affect me as much. So make sure that you don't just take what popular people say online or social media or even neuroscientists like Dr. Andrew Huberman. Sometimes when they get out of their lane, they can give you information that's not exactly precise and evidence-based. Now, if that was an opinion that he espoused, that's one thing, but I didn't take it as that. So there you have it. A closer look at some of those pressing questions around caffeine supplementation. While caffeine can offer a range of performance benefits, it's essential to be mindful of individual responses, total daily intake, and the potential risk for vulnerable populations like pregnant women. If you're interested in using my kind of go-to coffee stack in the morning, again, it's Purity Coffee, it's a little bit of Bubs, it's Nut Pods. I'll put some links in the show notes. That's just what I like to take. I found it just to be a great way to start my morning. As always, the key is to experiment, listen to your body, and find a safe strategy for you. Until next time, stay curious, stay consistent, and keep chasing excellence.